Fantasy All-Stars. I've got a roto lineup of All-Stars for Scott now. You tell me, do you agree or disagree with my decisions here? I'm the manager of this team. Let the scrutiny begin. And can these guys keep it up in the second half? We don't have a lot of time today. This is being recorded on Friday, July 11th, and airing on Monday, July 14th. So we apologize if we missed anything over the weekend, but it hasn't happened for us yet. So let's get right to it, guys. And if you guys want to email us, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Back on Wednesday, no podcast Tuesday. I've got two catchers for you. And I did this not just who's been the best, but who's been the best relative to draft position. Devin Mesoraco was not drafted in points league, 21st round in Roto. And Jonathan Lucroy, 9th round in points league, 7th in Roto, and he is the number one catcher in fantasy. Are we cool with my selections here?
Oh, I'm so cool with these selections.
All right, I hope I didn't leave anyone out.
Yeah, no. Top of mind, I can't think of anybody that would be more deserving, and I think both players can... Well, I don't think Mesoraco will maintain what he's done, but he's going to be a must-start for you in the second half.
What about Miguel Montero?
Oh, that's a good one. I could have done that.
Yeah.
So who do you think
who
is...
Who do you knock out?
Lucroy. He was drafted... he was what?
He was like the fifth catcher.
Top five
off
catcher, yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that. Maybe he's too high-end. But I just wanted to appreciate Jonathan Lucroy for the year he's having. He deserves to be an all-star.
You know what? He is... Because Miguel Montero, at least in points leagues, is a second catcher. Lucroy is 58 points ahead of him.
Wow.
That's
entering
Friday.
That's
the difference between Miguel Montero and Dionor Navarro.
Holy crap. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So Lucroy is running away with it right now. I have him as the number one catcher.
Who do you think is more likely to maintain it rest of the season, Miguel Montero or Devin Mesoraco?
Oh, maintain what they're doing, I would say Montero.
Yeah. Okay, who do you like better then?
I like Mesoraco better.
I like Montero better, actually. I would guess Mesoraco's per-game production is ahead of them. But like I just said, Montero is number two, and he's done this before in his career. Most of his career has been this good. So, yeah, it's hard to dispute the safety there.
All right, we go to first base. Jose Abreu. This was a pretty easy decision. 287, 28 home runs entering the weekend, 71 RBI, 21 walks, 80 strikeouts. Do you worry about the batting average since he's walking one for every five Ks?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he was hitting above 280 at the end of the season. I think rest of season, I would expect him to hit about, actually no better than 260.
All right. Does that mean anything for his fantasy value?
Not significant, no. Because he'll
we
just...
are... Abreu we're talking about,
yeah,
right?
Jose Abreu.
Yeah.
Of the White Sox.
Oh, that no, Jose Abreu.
I've actually recently moved him up to third in my first base rankings. With that's more about Edwin Encarnacion and Victor Martinez getting hurt. And certainly when Encarnacion comes back, I would think he'd go above Abreu. But Abreu is elite of elite, I think it's safe to say. And I'm sure Craig from Chicago would appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a while since we mentioned him. So.
A lot of the Chicago wins. All right, so we like Jose Abreu. How about the middle infield? We'll go second base, then third base. Brian Dozier. How do you bat .234 and rank so highly at a deep position? 16 home runs, that helps. 16 steals in 21 attempts. And I guess looking at his batting average, Brian Dozier, three seasons, .234, .244, .234. Is he just a low batting average guy? We deal with it?
Yeah, no, I think he is. I'm sort of surprised that he's still mired in the .230s because I remember writing probably sometime in May that I thought he, at that point, he's around .240, and I thought he really deserved to be hitting more about .260-ish. You know, it's not a great batting average, but I don't think you should expect him going forward to be a batting average albatross.
I do wonder, and I rank him high, so it's not like, I don't mean to sound the alarms here or anything.
Woo!
The kind of season he's having kind of reminds me of the one Aaron Hill had for the Blue Jays back when he kind of burst on the scene in fantasy. 30 home runs. It was 36 home runs out of nowhere. in 2009 because the fly ball rate was really high, as it is for Dozier. A lot of the home runs were short. And then after that, he's kind of had a strange career. Like, he was really awful in the years that followed that. Then he became a little more well-rounded, and I'm just not sure what that means for Dozier long term. He's a very he's a curious player, that one. Still a top five second baseman in my mind, but
yeah. Well, he was 18 home runs, 14 steals last year.
I know.
Yeah, so
I know.
It's
interesting. Yeah,
he's 16-16 already this year.
Yeah,
it's quite a pace.
It is quite a pace, and the reason I bring it up too is compare his batting at compare his home run pace to his OPS, and it's like, what does this guy do other than hit home runs?
Mm-hmm. It's weird to see a guy be this good and hit 234 and less than 250. All right, Brian Dozier, top five second baseman so far in the rankings.
I think we could give an honorable mention to Anthony Rendon.
No, because he's our middle infielder. He's our middle infielder.
You're wrong.
Oh,
Al.
All right.
Or else it would have.
I don't remember voting for middle infielder on my All-Star ballot.
Well, then you're just not remembering correctly because it had it. Anthony Rendon, actually, let's just go right to him. I actually think if there's anyone I'm most concerned about so far, it's Rendon. And the only reason why,
Ryan
guys
Zimmerman,
playing
right?
in their, no, guys, no, no. no. He'll stay in the lineup. He's too good. Guys playing in their first full season have shown in several instances, even great players like Yasiel Puig. I even feel like Mike Trout to a degree in his first more or less full season. They slump in the last month or so, maybe more of that than that of the season. And I compare Rendon to Jason Kipnis. Kipnis was a year older in his first full season than Rendon. Rendon's 24, Kipnis was 25. He had a terrible second half. Last year, Gene Segura had a terrible second half. Maybe he's not as good of a player as Rendon.
Yeah, I feel like they're not really similar. I mean, for one thing, Rendon played quite a bit last year.
He did. He played more than Kipnis did.
Yes,
that's true.
So he played more. I do think he's better.
But he's already eclipsed.
Not the Kipnis, but then Segura.
He's already eclipsed the at-bats from last year. So he's already played more than he played last year in terms of at-bats. And what about Yasiel Puig? He was bad at the end of last year, too. So
but he was a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, 351 at-bats for Rendon last year. I understand it wasn't a full season, but it was...
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like he might have gotten that out of the way. Yes, yeah. I understand it's his first full season, but I'm not expecting him to wear down and slump.
And to your point, he did fall off a lot last season.
So you think it may have already happened
in the second half, yeah.
He's gotten it out of the way.
Okay. What about D. Gordon, who's our shortstop? Do you guys worry about him at all? Because he's already eclipsed his season high in at-bats. And while he's been in the majors for, you know, quite some time, this is like his fourth year, it's never been more than this amount of time.
You know, really the only concern I have about D. Gordon, and it's a pretty minor one, is just I don't have complete confidence that he can maintain the average around 300. Like in the previous seasons when he was far from it, I look back to the rookie season and said, yeah, this is a guy who can hit 300. But, you know, there's been enough inconsistency there that maybe, you know, I don't look, he's speedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he can use that certainly to maintain the batting average. I'm just not sure, you know, that the infield hits will just keep coming and coming for him.
Do you want me to cheer you up?
Please.
D. Gordon, from May 7th to June 15th, batted .209. Mm-hmm. And in that time, he was the number 7 shortstop in points leagues, number 8 in roto. So I feel like as long as they don't remove him from the top of the order, and he gets the steals and the runs, he can hit like garbage and still be a really good fantasy shortstop. But I guess in theory they could remove him from the top of the order, sit him for lefties if D. Gordon falls back to being a lousy hitter.
Yeah, but like I said, it's a minor concern because I actually, you know, if you ask me to put odds on it, I like his chances better of hitting 300 going forward than hitting, you know, 250 for sure.
All right, how about Todd Frazier, Scott? He's our, I think, clear-cut third base MVP.
Clear cut, and I don't...
All-star. I said MVP. I meant all-star.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to make this, like, the most, you know, everything's good, let's all hold hands kind of podcast ever. That's what it sounded like so far. But I'm going to continue with that trend and say I'm not worried about Frazier. As good as he's been, would you believe he actually has a lower slugging percentage than he did 2 years ago? And that's really what it's about for me is he was this player already. It was during less than a full season, so you know, maybe we weren't buying into it fully. I don't know what happened to him last season when he finished well short of those numbers, but nothing he's doing now to me is unsustainable because we've seen him do it before. And yeah. Clearly, in an everyday player, a kind of a weak third base pool, it's paying off big time.
Yeah, I kind of felt like you were going to go there. It's a good argument. Good stuff. We've been talking about that. I like that.
And no mention of the 20-plus steals pace.
Yeah, yeah. And he has bases. And that's what the Reds do these days. And our last infielder is a corner infielder. It's Lonnie Chisenhall. He was undrafted in fantasy. So what do you think? Can Lonnie Chisenhall keep it up second half?
All right. Well, we can
everybody
we,
stop holding
where we
hand.
Stop holding hand. Had the kumbaya. I will say it's a fine pick because the premise here is we're picking the guys who have helped you win in the first half based on where you drafted them, and of course Chisenhall not drafted in standard leagues at all. So, but no, I'm pretty skeptical that he's going to be able to keep this going. It's pretty much the batting average that I doubt with him. Because power-wise, I think he's cooled off some, and he's on what looks to me like a pretty sustainable pace. But, 300-plus average. I mean, he's at 324 right now. I'd be surprised if he went even really close to 300 the rest of the way. I would expect more like 270.
Honorable mention was Steve Pierce, by the way, but he just hasn't done it long enough.
What about Casey McGee, Adam? He was on the final vote. He didn't deserve to be, but he was.
It's
and,
McGee.
It's McGee. I do have a little more confidence, and maybe confidence isn't right the word. I have a little more hope in Chisenhall than it sounds like Al does because he comes from such a good pedigree, and he was projected to be a contact hitter, and honestly, the strikeout rate is low. It would suggest he's capable of doing that, too. So, it's not, I'm not as confident as him, as Frazier, Gordon, and some of the others we've gone over, but I have some interest.
So that means our infield is Mesoraco, Lucroy, Abreu, Dozier, Frazier, Gordon, Rendon, and Chisenhall. We're bringing the infield in here. That's a crowded infield right now. Could you imagine how low scoring baseball would be if we played with middle infield, corner infield, two catchers?
That sounds like no fun at all.
Yeah, right?
No fun.
And five outfielders, so forget it. Now it's like kickball. Nelson Cruz was a 13th round pick in the preseason, and he has been awesome. He's an all-star, and second half expectations for Cruz.
Injury.
Injury, yeah. and some drop-off. He's a power guy, to be sure. And the big we've never really knocked the power on Nelson Cruz, but this is kind of unprecedented. And 291 average is something I don't really expect him to maintain either. I'm sort of surprised he's managed to stay healthy this long. So,
yeah,
I think my concerns are more shifting towards performance.
Is he a top 30 outfielder, Nelson Cruz? That easy to say.
A top what outfielder?
30.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, obviously he's been much higher than that so far, but really the injury thing, you could make that argument for a lot of players, but for him especially. You know what his career high in games is?
115.
No, it's actually 159, but the second most he's ever played in a season is 128.
That was so mean.
Yeah.
All right, how about Billy Hamilton?
Well, I do want to clarify something because just hear people say, I was concerned about performance. The thing I was going to finish up with there is that I think that's actually good news. That's okay.
My bad.
For Cruz, because the performance drop-off that I expect for him is going to be mild, whereas sitting for 20, 30, 40 games would obviously do much more damage to his value. So I think Cruz can come pretty close to what he's done so far.
Nelson Cruz is an all-star for us. Billy Hamilton is an all-star. Sixth round pick in Roto, but 13th round pick in points leagues, and I just think he's been a lot better than fantasy owners expected. He's been absolutely elite and shown me at least that dominating this much in a category is worth more than I realized. Between him, Gordon, and Altuve, they're just, you know, they're crushing it in steals. So even though he doesn't give you power and even though he doesn't give you RBIs, Billy Hamilton is a stud right now.
Well, and part of the studliness has been that he has delivered a little bit of power, which is more than the none I was expecting. And he's, because of this recent hot streak, he's giving you a really good batting average, which I also didn't expect. I figured he'd give you a fair batting average. So he's got about as much value as I figured he'd have, but he's done it in a different way. So if he actually does blow away the field, and that's really more about the field than him, blow away the field in stolen bases. Because he's on a stolen base pace that's pretty close to, I think, what we were all expecting. Mm-hmm. We just didn't see D. Gordon and Jose Altuve coming on the way they have.
Yeah, speaking of which, Altuve probably should have made the All-Star team.
Yeah.
That's a big omission.
And I'm not really sure about Billy Hamilton here making the All-Star team. Because like you said, he was drafted in the sixth round in average on Roto.
Yeah,
what about Melky Cabrera, Adam?
Oh.
Snubbed for the real All-Star game, snubbed for the fake.
Yeah,
All-Star team.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Has he been better? He has been better in I guess, both. No. Oh, well, that's the thing. Billy Hamilton is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th best in Roto. And in points leagues, he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wait, where am I? Who am I looking for? Billy Hamilton. He's just behind Melky Cabrera. He's
But nobody wanted Cabrera coming into the year. Like,
Brandon Moss has got to be right there too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought of him at first.
My last guy that I left off.
And just since we're talking about it, we haven't named all five of the outfielders that did make it. Brantley and Blackman are the other two.
And Stanton.
Oh, and Stanton?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Adam.
No.
Come on, Adam.
I refuse.
If this is about value,
I think that a guy who went in the third round in Roto leagues and the fourth round in points leagues performing like a first round pick and carrying teams right now, I think Stanton deserves to be on the All-Star team, similarly to Lou Croy.
I totally agree with that.
Oh, thank you.
There's better picks. Moss is a better pick. Melky's a better pick.
All right, so Hamilton, Brantley, Blackman, Stanton, Melky Cabrera. I'll just throw him on there. He's a sixth outfielder. A lot of defense. who do you guys, if any, do you worry about in the second half? Hamilton, Brantley, Blackman, Stanton, Melky.
I mean, I've been pretty firmly in his corner.
Who?
Well, I'm getting there.
Oh.
Kind of a reverse
a weird way in
thing.
My defense.
Just
yeah.
Guess in your own head.
Charlie Blackman.
Because I've done that, yeah.
It is Charlie Blackman. Yeah, I don't. Of that list, I don't see how you couldn't be the most worried about him. And what worries me most, because I do feel like he's going to settle into kind of a more of a even keel normal state here that he's had after the crazy start and the huge regression. But I do worry about the playing time because the Rockies have so many outfielders and they do have a platoon happy manager. And particularly when Cargo gets back, it's just going to make it that much tougher for Blackman to play every day. And no matter how good he is, if he's not playing every day, it's going to make him. He's going to fall. He's still top 10 now, at least in points leagues. He's going to fall from that. The question is how much, how hard. I do think he'll still be top 30. But there are definite playing time concerns there.
Did you know that he's number 7 in points leagues as of Friday, Charlie Blackman, and number 6 in Roto at
there
the outfield position? Al, I feel like you have this weird thing with Michael Brantley where you don't trust him.
Yeah, you're right. Just not completely. My concern for him is probably, it's certainly less than for Blackman, but it's in the discussion. I just worry that he's going to go back to being somebody who just has moderate power at best.
I don't know. Seems like a legit player.
I mean, look, it does, and you know, certainly is at the right age to take the step forward where you might not expect him to. But we've also seen cases, and unfortunately, I can't think of a great one just right off the top of my head, where guys have these amazing unexpected halves, and then they just go back to who you thought they were in the first place.
Well, Jeff Locke, if you want to look at a pitcher, made the All-Star team last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even that one's, you know, kind of now fast-forwarding to 2014 is a different kind of case because he's actually better than he's ever been now.
That's true. Brian Roberts had a year for the Orioles. I think he finished the year with 18 home runs, but it was a front-loaded season. And obviously he hasn't been a power hitter. He's been a good doubles hitter. But that's kind of along the lines of where I was going with this, what Brantley can do, even if the home run rate does fall. Because with this home run rate, he's been the third best outfielder in head-to-head leagues. I'm sorry, Adam, I don't have Roto pulled up, but he's been awfully high there too, I know.
Fourth,
okay. Like, even if he regresses to Martin Prado level in terms of power, and that's a natural comparison, I think, because the strikeout rate for Brantley is a typical Martin Prado strikeout rate. He's still going to be must start, I feel like. Not top five necessarily, but outfield, I mean, you can be top 25 and still be must start. Probably.
Well, the question is not, is he must start? The question is, can I trade Michael Brantley for Shin-Soo Chu and feel good about it? And I wouldn't.
Yeah. I know I actually have Chu ranked ahead. But you're right. It would be tough to bring myself to do that.
And I would too. And I believe that Chu's going to rebound. And I think, yeah, when it comes right down to it, I think that Brantley's not going to hit for this kind of power. He's not going to be a 25 to 30 homer guy rest of season and going forward. I don't really believe that's going to happen. And yet, at the same time, you know, more than 3 months of play is pretty compelling for both players. So if I were doing it, I would at the very least be very nervous about it.
And I don't think that we should say Giancarlo Stanton is not a regression candidate here for the same reason Nelson Cruz.
Yep.
Giancarlo Stanton is a very injury-prone player. 91 games this year, but 116 games last year. So he's almost at that mark. And in 2012, 123 games. So he has been hurt, and he's only hit above 262 once in his career. And he's batting 299 right now. So even if he bats 260, he's obviously a stud. But I think it's worth mentioning that Stanton does get hurt a lot. Just thought I'd mention that. And Victor Martinez. Victor Martinez. Oh, inside
joke.
What
are you laughing at?
I know, you know what I'm laughing at.
Okay.
Victor Martinez is our DH. Is he going to hit 30 home runs this year? What does he have now? Like 18?
He has 21.
Holy crap. All right, I'm going to raise the bar then.
All right, because yeah. I think he'll hit 30.
Is he going to hit 32?
Yeah, I think that's the good over-under there. That's where I start to struggle with it.
That's 11 home runs in 10 weeks.
Yeah. I'll say no. He hits 30 on the nose.
I'm going to say no too. But you know what? I feel like he could be a top six first baseman, even if he doesn't. And that's easier to say that in head-to-head than Roto. Roto might be more like top 10. I think he'll be really good. So it's not like I'm anxious to trade him, even if I do see the room for regression.
And we got to hurry up a little bit with the pitching staff. I apologize for the short podcast, running up on time a little bit today. Is up on time? Short of time, whatever. Johnny Cueto, 12th round pick, 10th round pick in Roto in points. Garrett Richards was a 24th round pick in Roto, but 17th in points. This is a SPARP. Corey Kluber, 13th round pick in points, 14th in Roto. Tim Hudson, Jake Arrieta, and Jason Hamill are the six I've nominated. Cueto, Richards, Kluber, Hudson, Arrieta, and Hamill. Are we cool with that?
I want to try to find some room on here. Actually, three names come to mind. Scott Kazmir, Phil Hughes, and Dallas Keuchel, just because Keuchel was on nobody's radar.
Mm-hmm.
I think barely in AL-only formats was he even on people's radar. And Hughes and Kazmir, I don't think anybody expected them to be as good as they've been.
Of all the names that have been mentioned, that's nine names now. Who concerns you in the second half, if anyone?
You know, I if I'm being perfectly honest, I am a little concerned about Keuchel right now, just the way his last few starts have gone. And my buying into him in the first place wasn't it was one of those situations where, well, I don't have a good enough reason not to believe it, so I feel like I'm just getting left behind not believing in it. You know, it wasn't like nobody saw this coming, and nobody had any reason to see this coming. He wasn't this type of pitcher in the minors, no pedigree to speak of. So I'm a little concerned about that.
That's Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
I have concerns for Jason Hamill. And Scott, actually, you made the point, I think, on our show, video show, within the last couple of days. But something I'd been thinking, that he's been so inconsistent that it seems like just something like a change of scenery could totally screw him up.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's just from the perspective of the fan and, you know, not really, you know, I mean, it's completely speculative. But he just seems like he's the kind of pitcher that just skates on very thin ice. And I yeah, the move worries him. Just standing still in place worries me. So so I do have some worries for Jason Hamill. Also, Scott Kazmir, performance-wise, I have no worries about him. But I have to wonder if Hamill and Samardzija did get traded to the A's, that the A's made that move in part because they had concerns about Kazmir's durability.
What about Arrieta?
I'm really not concerned about
it. Not at all.
It seems crazy.
Yeah.
Because he's been so bad at times in between good starts. But he's never been this good, and it's never been for this long. And the stuff is evident just watching him pitch.
Yeah.
So I feel good about him.
All right, we got three closers here. Francisco Rodriguez, Houston Street, and sorry, three relievers. And Dellin Betances. K-Rod, Betances, and Street. I think these all three are regression candidates in the second half.
But is it Betances or Betances?
Whatever. Depends who you...
Did he make the real All-Star team?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
All right.
they've already... well, not Street, but I think K-Rod and Betances have both shown some signs of regression.
And Houston Street's the Nelson Cruz of relievers. We're waiting for the injury. It hasn't happened yet. But if he stays healthy, then I think he can continue to be this effective.
The trade winds are going to be something to monitor with him.
Right.
Because it's possible he could get traded to a team with an established closer already. I have a hard time believing that would be the team willing to give up the most for him. But stranger things have happened.
How about Francisco Rodriguez?
I think he'll be okay. Like you said, he's started to regress already. I feel like the level he's been at more recently is probably a more realistic expectation for him going forward, and that'll be fine. He just isn't going to, you know, be like a top three closer. I don't think he's even going to be top six.
And Betances, I just think the overuse has maybe gotten to him a little bit. He just doesn't seem quite as sharp. Occasionally he'll go out and have an awesome dominant outing, but it was like he always went out and had an awesome dominant outing. And the Yankees get no length from their starting pitchers. They have no starting pitchers. So, yeah, I think that's probably why you've seen some regression. I wouldn't mind, from a fantasy standpoint, seeing him get traded, if I owned him in a keeper league, to an organization that might consider making him a starter at some point, or a closer. Actually, he could be a closer next year for the Yankees. So, probably worth owning in a keeper league. I believe David Robertson's a free agent. Anything to add?
No.
All you right. could, I got something to add. Oh. Or Sean Doolittle.
Oh, damn. Screwed that one up. Yeah.
Good Sean call, Doolittle. Scott White.
He's pretty good. This was tough.
There's always snubs.
I guess, let's just say I would have made him my third closer, but I wanted to put a middle reliever in there for the middle reliever leagues out there.
You know, I should mention, since it sounds like I'm slamming your picks or something, you said, do you guys want to come up with your own, or do you want me to just come up with a list before we did this? And I was like, I'd rather you do it.
We're very generous with that.
I knew the pitching would look a lot different. Maybe the outfield a little bit too. But I love my list. I think it's great. It's an all-star list. All right, we got to go. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday with a new podcast, and we'll help you set your lineup for week 16. 16? I always keep forgetting. 16.
No, I think it's 17.
17?
Actually.
Yeah.
I think so.
We're in week 16. Well, it's Friday. We're going to help you set your lineup for the next scoring period.
We're in week 15. You were right.
All right, sixth.
Yes.
And for Al Melchior and Scott White, I'm Adam Hazer.
See you.